This morning I'm going to continue the series that I have been sharing with you entitled, The Prize. Now, when I talk about the prize, I'm talking about heaven. And I really am looking forward to heaven, folks. I don't know. I said this in the beginning of this series. I'm not sure why I think about heaven so much, but I think about heaven a lot. I think the reason I think about heaven a lot is not only because I'm heaven bound and you're heaven bound, but it's because I deal with issues every day. Being a pastor, life and death issues. There are very few days that we don't hear of something that is a life and death issue, which causes me, I think, to think about heaven and eternity a lot. And I don't consider that a bad thing. I consider it a really good thing. But I am looking forward to heaven when it is my time. I don't want to go a day earlier. Now, some days I think I do, and then the next day I'm thinking, no, I'm not ready yet. Don't worry. We'll be there when we're supposed to. I trust you're all looking forward to heaven as well. Now, when one is talking about heaven, he or she is really talking about eternity. Now, listen to me carefully. And when talking about eternity, if we only talk about heaven, we have only talked about one aspect of eternity. How many of you know there's another side of this coin? And we really don't like to talk about it, but if we're going to do the subject of eternity justice, we must talk about that place called hell. I don't even like saying the word. It's not the H word. It's hell. And so by God's grace today, I'm going to talk to you about a subject that Jesus talked about more than anybody else in the Bible. Now, I'm sorry that we must talk about hell, but the reality is we do. So I decided to man up this week and talk about hell. I tried to talk God out of it. He wouldn't let me back out of it. So I decided I'm going to do it. So here we are today. I want you to buckle your seatbelts and get ready to talk about hell. Amen? You don't have to look at me so ghastly here this morning. It's all right. If you are born of God's Spirit, you should be just fine this morning. Amen? I said, if you are born of God's Spirit, you should be fine, okay? Amen. There you go. Here's an interesting statistic. For every American who believes that he is going to hell, there are a few that will say, I'm a sinner, I'm rotten, I am going to hell. For every one person that believes they are going to hell, there is 120 who believe that they are going to heaven. Now, beloved, this optimism stands in stark contrast to Christ's words. Now, I'm going to read a lot of His words today, not mine. So if you have a problem with hell, if you have a problem with this topic of eternity, you take it up with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure He'll meet with you and talk about it, and maybe you and He can reason some things. But the Bible doesn't say for every one that's going to hell, 120 are going to heaven. In fact, the Bible says just the opposite. I can laugh about this because I'm on my way to heaven. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, here's what Jesus Himself said to His disciples, which we are now. He said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction." Are you listening to me today? "And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Seems like everybody you meet in America, they're heaven bound. There's only one problem with that. Jesus said that that is not the case. See, the great danger is this, and I see it a lot, and I'm certainly no man's judge, but I tell you, you go to most funerals, everybody was a good person. What is it about when they die, suddenly they become a saint? You know, you ought to try to preach some of those funerals where they were not a saint and everybody wants you to make them into a saint. It's not an easy duty. Folks, the reality is, Jesus said it well, not everybody that thinks they're going to heaven are going to heaven. And it is a great danger to assume that you're heading for heaven. Now, Jesus made it very clear. Only a few are entering that narrow gate. Let me just go ahead and tell you, that narrow gate that he's talking about is not religion. It's not rules. It's not the do's and the don'ts. That narrow gate is Jesus. And let me tell you, that gate, and I believe I might preach just a little bit today, that gate is getting narrower as time passes by, because Jesus is not as cool and as popular as he used to be. But he's still Jesus. And he's still, regardless of what the philosophers are saying, what the intellects are saying, that Christians are narrow-minded and that to say there is only one way to get to heaven is wrong. Let me tell you, that's what's making Jesus so uncool and his people today. And that's the reason a lot of people are running to safer ground. There is no safer ground. Friends, he made it clear not everybody's going to heaven. And I want to say to all of us, we dare not wait and see. And this is not like a gamble. Well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. We shouldn't just cross our fingers one day and hope that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We don't have to do that. And I think even born-again people sometimes don't understand. They think, this is kind of like a guessing game. Maybe I'll win the lottery, maybe I won't. If I'm good enough tomorrow, maybe I'll go to heaven. Why should we not assume that we're going to heaven? Because Revelation 21 and verse 27 says this about heaven. It says, nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry. Now, in America, we're safe. We don't practice idolatry. Some of you really better pray, because I could preach about 3 hours today. And I might do it. You're welcome to stay if I do. Somebody said you can preach as long as you want to at a certain time. I've got my clock. That's when I'm going. I've got a dinner appointment. You may miss something today. We don't think in America that we're idolaters. My God, we are worshiping wealth and power and beauty and cars and houses and success and names and all kinds of things. We are as idolatrous in America as anybody. But here's what he says. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty. Do you think there's any dishonesty going on in the world today? We are in other countries, but not in America. My God, this nation's filled with dishonesty. But he says this, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those are the only ones. That is the only qualifier that will get you in heaven, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We can know, and we should know before we die, where we are going to spend eternity. Sure, have I ever had doubts on days when things aren't going well? Does God still love me? Well, I have to know what the Word says. The Bible says God will never leave me, and He will never forsake me. The Bible says He will never abandon me in Sheol. God won't do that. But I have days where I've wondered that a few times, but I immediately know the Scripture, and what I do, I start rehearsing Scripture, and I say, thank God for heaven. And there's been a few times in my life I've said, God, whatever you have to do, I do not want to go to hell. I've read the book on hell. I've heard the words of Jesus. I've read other people who have experienced going to hell. And by the way, let me just say this. Every one of you, I encourage you, and if I can motivate you, I encourage you to be here Wednesday evening. We are going to hear from a man who was allowed by God to go into hell. And let me tell you, you don't want to go to hell. And you're going to hear from a man who spent 23 minutes in hell. In fact, there's a book about it. It's a New York Times bestseller. We're going to hear him interviewed and talk about his experience in hell. I encourage you to be here. You say, well, I'm born again. I'm safe. I don't need to think about hell. Let me tell you, this will motivate you to be a better witness for Christ. It will motivate you to do some things that you're not motivated to do. It will put a little fire under you to talk to your friends about the fire to come. And it's real, and it's horrible. So we'll be doing that this Wednesday evening. Friends, I tell you, it is paramount, and it is important to make sure that you are going to heaven and not hell. Now, there are other voices that we hear apart from God's voice and apart from the voices of preachers and those who testify about the goodness of God. But there's a voice that sometimes says to us, there's no hurry. You can always think about it later. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. This is not God's voice. And there just might be some people here today, and you just happened into our service today, or you might be listening to us on the internet or radio, and you're just thinking, I'll just listen to this a little bit. Listen to me, friends. Heaven is real, and hell is real, and God, let me go ahead and get ahead of myself. God does not want any human being to go to hell. Don't buy into all that ridiculous, I call it foolish, ignorant talking about God this, God that. Hey, God is God, folks. And you're never going to figure out all there is to know about God. I don't think in eternity after eternity after eternity, you'll still know everything there is to know about God. But we do need to know. Because in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, the Bible says, and we don't need to wait. That is a satanic voice that says, wait, there's no hurry. Sir, if you've been in our previous services, you know you have no guarantee of tomorrow. It is arrogant. And if you live to be 100 years old, the Bible says your life is but a vapor. It is here today and it is gone tomorrow. It is arrogant to assume that I can do what I want, when I want, and how I want, and then one day just decide, okay, today is the day of salvation. I'm just going to skip up there and talk to Jesus. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to live like the devil the rest of the time, and then I'm going to go and spend eternity in God. That is foolishness. In fact, the Bible warns against it. You see, what will keep us out of heaven is universal, wherever you go in the world. Here it is, Romans 3 and 23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He didn't say those who do good works are saved. He said all have sinned. I could go into a lot of things right now, how we as human beings are works-oriented. We think if we do just enough work, God will love me today, and I'll get in heaven, and hopefully Peter will greet me at the pearly gates, and everything will be great, and if I'm really lucky, I'll get my little cabin on the outskirts of heaven. Dear God, I just hope and pray that happens. But I got to be good. No, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because sin separates us from a relationship with God. Isaiah 59 and 2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. You know what we tend to do as human beings? It's what I said a minute ago. When not only do we try to work our way into heaven, not only do we try to do good things so God will like us. Folks, God is not going to love you any more today than He did yesterday. He died for you and He declared it is finished. His love for you needs to be a settled issue. But in the event you think it's about working your way to heaven and being really good, you know, I've heard people say, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. And I know some good people, humanly speaking. But they still sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, because no man in his own strength or own effort will ever attain to the righteousness of God. None. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You mean my uncle who taught Sunday school, you know, for 80 years? If he didn't get born again, it's not well with uncle right now. It's not well. Now, Tracy and I sometimes traveling around being a preacher, you probably won't find much humor in this, and it's really not humorous, but it's something I think about. Every time we drive by a cemetery and there's a funeral service going on, I don't do this when I'm speaking at one. I shouldn't even be saying this. But I mean it. I think problems have either just really begun for them or they have just ended. That's the reality. It has just begun or it has just ended. We've got a sin problem, folks. And unless that sin problem is dealt with, according to God's manner of dealing with, hell is our default destination. I know this is so uncool to speak on today, and I'm going to address all these issues, and I ask every one of you to bear with me and give me time to get through this message today, regardless of how long it takes. I mean, there's so much philosophy. Paul referred to it as vain philosophy going on. Well, if God was good, just shush up. I started to use that word that you can't use. You know, if you use the word stupid in church, you'll go to hell. Did you know that? If you call someone stupid, hell will be inhabited by people who haven't received God's gift of redemption in Christ. Redemption is a gift. Man, I know we get so weary of trying to persuade people God is good. He loves you and has nothing but good planned for you. Come on, man, receive Him. They turn away and go to the lake or go to the golf course or do something else, and we want to give up. Don't give up on them. But I'm telling you, and I'm reminding every one of us, redemption is a gift, and it behooves us to receive the gift of redemption. Why? Because if we don't, guess what? Hell is our default destination. Here's what Revelation 20, verses 12 through 15 say. He says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened." Beloved, let me give you some news today. Your every action, your every thought, your every deed is being recorded right now. That's what the books are for. But I didn't think God could see me if I just kind of ignored Him. God is everywhere. God sees, God hears, God knows. He's all-knowing. My deeds are recorded. Let me tell you, there's only one way to get the slate clean, and that's through the blood of Jesus. Some of you say, "Whew, thank God for that." But what about people who reject the blood of Jesus and the gift of redemption? Man, I don't know. Their book is filled with every deed of their life, the good things and the not-so-good things. And every one of us has some not-so-good things. It's called sin. It's called sin. But the Bible says everybody is going to stand before God, all who have died. It says the small and the great, the rich and the poor, they're all going to be there. And listen, if you don't believe there's some other, that these books are up there, it says, "And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death." And verse 15 says, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Very sobering words. Now let me be very clear. I may repeat this several times. These are very sobering words. If your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, you will spend an eternity in the lake of fire. Kind of gives you goosebumps, doesn't it? Sounds like a party to me happening. Far from it. By the way, someone said this to me last week, and I'll tell you, it really makes sense to me. Right now, if we take life as it is, if you are a born-again believer, this is the closest to hell you will ever get. That's good news. Some of you think you've experienced, life is hell. No, this is the closest to hell you're ever going to get. This isn't anything. But for the unbeliever, the one who rejects God and chooses a lifestyle of sin and ignores the message of faith and ignores Jesus Christ, this is the closest they will ever get to heaven. You mean when I die, I don't just die and that's it? I don't check out? Not according to this Bible. You are a living, eternal soul, and you will live in eternity either with God or away from God. A very real reality, is it not? The Bible says that after Christ returns, there will be a resurrection of believers for eternal life in heaven and a resurrection of unbelievers for eternal existence in hell. Now, John chapter 5, verse 28 through 29 says this, and this is Jesus speaking. He said, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. The unsaved are those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will be judged by God according to the works that they have done, which, as I stated, have been recorded in heaven. Think about it. Listen, we are not to fear God in the sense of, if we're not just really careful, God will just, you know, smite us and beat us and take us out. We're not to have that kind of fear of God, but we are to have a reverential fear of God, a respect and an honor for God. And I'll tell you, you stop and think about it. Sometimes we need a few more. I think America, if we preach on hell just a little bit more, some of this arrogance and even this independence that exists in the Christian faith. Let me tell you, if we started fearing and reverencing God and feared an eternity without God a little more, let me just tell you, a lot of these things that we're experiencing would clear up. You can say amen if you want to. I'll say it to myself because it's true. I think we need to hear about hell a little more. And it's like I said, it's not the H word. It is a literal burning hell. God doesn't want anybody to go there. And I don't want anybody to go there. You know why people go there? Because their works include sin. And people on their own without Christ cannot enter the presence of a holy and just God and will be consigned to a place of everlasting destruction. Let me be very clear. If you've bought into this New Age theory, these philosophies that are going to send multitudes and millions to hell, if you bought into this, a loving God would never do that. Let me just tell you, let me be very clear. The Bible says God, when He created, He did not create it for human beings. He created it for the devil and his fallen angels who defied God and who's defying God to this day and who's defying you and resisting you and tormenting you if he can and putting disease on you if he can. I think someone like that deserves an eternity without God in the lake of fire. But God will not send a human being there. Any human who goes there, and according to this man's experience that you will hear on Wednesday evening, millions daily are going to an eternity without God because they choose. They listen to the wrong voice, the voice that says, hey man, put it off. There's no hurry. There's no hurry. Some of you heard my testimony to some degree last week. Let me just tell you, one of the things, say what you may, that caused me to want to be born again. I talked about those Christians, those tongue-talking Christians that started praying for me, who always get their prayers answered. I don't care how you feel about tongue talkers. Let me tell you something. It's biblical, number one. Secondly, when they start praying for you, you're in trouble. You need, if you're going your way to hell, you need some tongue talking Christians praying for you. And they were praying for me. And let me tell you, I don't know if I made this clear last week or not, but what began to happen to me, I began fearing going to sleep because I wasn't born again. I was a bona fide, rebellious, rebel, self-centered sinner, which all sinners are. Some just know how to smile. Some know how to hide their meanness. Some of them think that they're hiding their sin. They're not hiding their sin. If we think we can enter into eternity without Christ's work in our heart, we have deluded ourselves. But folks, let me tell you, I hear it more and more and more, and it's a bit scary to me these days. Everybody's going to heaven. I mean, I see people go through things, and you know, one of the things I really don't want when I die for people to say, well, I hope he made it to the pearly gates. How many of you got known people like that? Well, they said they were a Christian. I hope they made it, meaning, I don't know, their life was kind of questionable. I'm not sure. I don't want people to wonder. I want them to know where I went when I died. We're going to see. Going to see Pappy up there in heaven. We're going to see Pops up there in heaven. I want them to know. But I can tell you it's based upon one thing, and it is Christ who has died for me and shed His blood. Here's Jesus again talking about hell in Matthew 13, verses 40 and 42. He says, therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age, which I believe we are getting so close to. And I believe if Christians believe it, man, I've got 14 sermons in me today. If Christians really believe that, I believe the prayer meetings in America would be filled. And I'll tell you why they're not filled. I don't believe people really believe we're in the end of the age. He says, the Son of Man will send His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend. And those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, one of the great characteristics of the end time is not going to be righteousness and faith and holiness. In fact, Jesus said when He comes back to the earth, will He even find faith on the earth? But the predominant, whatever you want to call it, characteristic of man or the outward part of man will be lawlessness. And God said those who practice lawlessness will not enter into heaven. In fact, He said they are going to the place where there's gnashing and wailing of teeth. Beloved, the prevailing spirit in the world today, and particularly in America, is a spirit of lawlessness. And you might as well throw the Christians in there, because I have never in all my days of being a preacher seen more independent Christians. It doesn't matter what their spiritual father says to them. It doesn't matter what they're told to do. It doesn't matter what the Word of God says. If they don't feel like doing it, bless the Lord, they're not going to do it. I mean, the man of God can go before the throne of God and get a word of, here's what we ought to do. And what do? We do it like we go into a restaurant. Well, I'll take that. I don't want that. I didn't like he said that. I'm just not going to do it. And we go get a little group and say, I didn't like that. I didn't bear witness with. That's the spirit of lawlessness. And it is predominant in a lot of Christians. God gives you shepherds and leaders for a specific purpose. But if you ignore them and shun them when they've heard from God, hey, who's to blame? Just thought I'd throw that in there. I know all of you think our politicians are filled with lawlessness. They're not all filled with lawlessness. You just hear about the few nutcases that are. There are a lot of good politicians. Some of you can accept that when I, you know, say that, in Washington there's a lot of lawless people. You can even buy into that when I talk about certain aspects of L.A. Oh, they're crazy over there, but not me. Let me tell you, lawlessness is the prevailing spirit in the world today. And here's what Christ will say to those who are not covered by His blood. In Matthew 25 and 41, here's what Jesus said, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Friends, I want to tell you something. We need to awaken to the reality of the times we're living in and where we're living and what God has called us to do, and get uncaught up in all this stuff that's going on in this world. Don't argue with me. I'm not going to stand there and say, depart from me. There have been a few people in life I wanted to say that to. And I prayed that, and they departed. Oh, some of you don't have any humor. Lawlessness. Here's what lawlessness means. It means not governed by law. Let me tell you, Christians, we are all to be governed by the law of the Spirit. We're not to be governed by the Ten Commandments. We're to be governed by the law of the Spirit, which will take us to a far higher realm of responsibility than the law ever did. Amen? See, we tend to think, and I didn't make this point a minute ago, I'm not very sinful. Well, let me ask you something. Have you ever, just any of you ever told a lie? Anybody? Any of you never told a lie? Don't. Please, for God's sake, don't raise your hand. You are a liar if you say you've never lied. You know, a master liar just tells their part of the story, and they think, I didn't lie. You just didn't tell the other part of that. That is the worst kind of deceptive lie there is. But I know it was just a little lie, wasn't it? Just a little one. A lie is a lie. If you lied big or small, some of you are big liars. At least you know it. Some of you are little liars, and we call them white lies. Folks, that is still sin. And it didn't matter. See, that's that law thing working as if I just a little bit, just law, a little bit. Have you ever stolen anything? Now, you better be careful here. Did you ever accidentally pick up a pen from work or Walmart or somewhere and take it home? Are you a thief? See, you've already broken two of God's commandments. Shall I leave that alone? But you know what we do? Oh, it was just one paper clip. Well, it was somebody else's paper clip, dude. Well, they've got plenty of money, you know. They don't need that, really. See how we justify sin? I could go on and on here and talk about some other things, and I'd have us all condemned to hell here before long, but I'm not going to do that. I don't want to hear Jesus say to me, "Depart from me, you accursed one. Enter into the place," he's saying, "that I really prepared for the devil and the angels, but because you have refused me and you have rejected me, that is where you will spend eternity as well." You know, we often hear jokes about hell, and we often hear hell portrayed, you know, as kind of like it's portrayed in a comic strip. A big giant lounge where between drinks, people tell stories of their escapades on the earth. I'm telling you, a lot of people think, yeah, hell's going to be rough, but hey, we're going to have one party, and we'll just make it into one big party. There will be no partying in heaven. You need to hear this man that went to hell and came back to the earth. In fact, you will not have interaction with other human beings in hell. When you enter hell, it is absolutely void of purpose and hope. And I find right now that my words are very inadequate to describe eternity without God to you. But Jesus, and I've already read this, said this. He said it would be a place of utter misery. Matthew 13 and 42 says, "And he will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." This gentleman who went to hell for 23 minutes describes how utterly fear-filled you are and how you are in absolute horror because of all the wailing. People are there for eternity. They wail and they wail. They cry and they live in total misery and hopelessness. He said in hell, you know, there's no need to have a conversation with someone because there's no purpose in hell. Hell is void of hope. Hell is void of mercy. Hell is void of grace. There's nothing there but horror. It will be a place of misery. And it'll be a place of no relief. Dante in the Inferno envisioned this sign chiseled above hell's gate. And this is exactly what this gentleman described. He said, "Abandon," or here's what the sign would say, "Abandon every hope, you who enter." Now, if you think you've had some hopeless days, you don't know what hopelessness is. Think about it. You know, we live on hope if you think about it. We hope in faith that the dream will come to pass. We hope about our children doing this or that. We hope about our churches doing certain things and succeeding and doing what God has told us. That is hope. And when we put faith behind it, we will see a lot of that. But heaven is devoid of any hope. Hell is devoid. Thank you. And I've got a lot of things written here that I could say, but folks, let me just tell you. One of the reasons I have been appealing to us to come together in corporate prayer is because the only way you can get a city open to God is when the church comes together in a unified, sacrificial manner and prays together. Oh, I pray at home for this city. You don't have enough power in your own strength, man, to shake a city. The church, if we want our community to know God and if we want our nation to know God, the church needs to do what Jesus said and make the house of God a place of prayer first. That is not what the church in America is. Far from it. There are a few people praying, but as a whole, the church is not praying. And that's where that stubbornness settles in. We ought to be making time, folks. This topic ought to take us to our knees. And I'm not talking about coming to a prayer meeting 1 week and 2 weeks until you can't do it anymore. I'm talking about making a lifestyle out of praying corporately together, because one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. I want this city and this region to know God, and I am so weary of people dying and going to hell. I'm beyond weary. I am grieved. But I'm just as weary, and I just trying to help people see what we need to do. Folks, listen to me. If you make time for God's business, God will make time for your business. And I don't want to get me in this, because this is not about me today, but I'm going to tell you, we really have bought into, we really believe we can't get control over our lives and that we've got to run in the rat race. And I realize to some degree there's some truth to that, but I'm going to tell you one. When you make a decision to put God and His kingdom first and do what they did in the first century, I'm so weary of people saying, I want God's power. I want to see God move in our church, but they don't come to the prayer meetings. And a few can't do this. It takes a lot of people praying, because we are wrestling. We are struggling against principalities and powers that were cast out of heaven, and they're resisting cities. They're resisting churches. But as long as we're happy, somebody else do the praying for me. Y'all do the praying. I've got my own little special life, and I've gone to meddling, and I've stopped preaching, and I need to move on. But I'm really trying to reach out and say, folks, it's time to reinvigorate prayer. We have some good prayer services. Let me tell you, we are having more miracles on a consistent basis happen in this church and in this congregation and in my own life and ministry than I've ever seen before. I mean regular bona fide miracles. But the greatest miracle to me is when a city turns to God. When God starts moving and can put His hand of favor on a congregation and say, now go forth and shake the world for me. It will only happen when we pray and when we understand this thing called hell is real and people are going into it by the thousands every day. I said it earlier, but hell is not the hell word anymore. Or it's not the H word. It's still hell. You got the point. You don't even see this anymore in evangelical booklets. Just don't talk about hell. In the words of one professor and contributor to an evangelical publication, here's what he wrote. He should have been file 13. He said, I consider the concept of hell as endless torment in body and mind, an outrageous doctrine. How can Christians possibly project a deity of such cruelty and vindictiveness, whose way includes inflicting everlasting torture upon His creatures, however sinful they may have been? Surely a God who would do such a thing is more nearly like Satan than like God. This came out in an evangelical periodical. See, many imagine that it is civilized and humane and compassionate to deny the existence of an eternal hell. That's the new thing that's going on today. Let's don't talk about hell. I'll just try to love them in. Some people need the hell scared out of them. I stayed awake on that Saturday night after those charismatic Christians were praying for me. I remember it so clearly. Because I'm telling you, if I died, I would not have gone to heaven. Not after that. And I was afraid. I remember. And this is hard to do when you've got all this stuff in your system. I remember that night I was afraid to go to sleep. And I stayed awake, and I think I made it till 3 a.m., but the next thing I knew, I was out. And I'm telling you, this prayer thing works. It was getting on me. I got saved supernaturally following Tuesday evening. And got delivered a few evenings after that, which I could tell you some testimony about some demonic deliverance and some things that occurred in my life because those charismatics were praying. If you want answered prayer, go find a charismatic that prays in tongues. Don't get one of those if it be thy will kind of people. No way, no way. Folks, let me just tell you. I've said it, and I know I'm repeating myself on a lot of these points. I think it's arrogant that we, God's creatures, would dare to take the moral high ground and just kind of tell how God ought to be. And if God isn't that way, then we form an opinion of this or that. I'm telling you, folks, this may sound harsh to you. It's people like that who will go to hell because they're going to miss Jesus. Did you know that in the Bible, Jesus says more than anyone else about hell? Did you know that he refers to it as a literal place? I'm not going to read the story right now, but in Luke 16, verses 19 through 31, the rich man and Lazarus, he talks about a place, and you really ought to go read that this week. Your spiritual advisor is saying, you ought to go read Luke 16 this week. I'm suggesting that. Because I'm telling you, it is described as a place where you are fully conscious and where you have memory and you have reasoning and you long for relief. I mean, this guy just wanted one drop of water. This guy that you will hear Wednesday evening talked about, you long for your thirst to be quenched and you cannot have it quenched. Now let me just address one other issue before we close today. How long will hell last? Well, the answer, and Jesus again said it in Matthew 25 and 46, he said this, they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. In the same sentence, Christ uses the same word translated eternal to describe the duration of both heaven and hell. If heaven will be consciously experienced forever, hell must be consciously experienced forever. Folks, there's doctrines. Stay with me now today. There are doctrines that are being taught all over this country that the devil will get saved one day. Meaning then everybody else who followed him, after God has sufficiently tormented them, say after 1,000 years, the devil... See, you, some of you live in the Bible Belt. Some of you are so ingrained in God, and that's a good thing. You find these things unreal. But I'm telling you, you need to know these things so you will be a more effective and heartfelt witness for Christ. That is a very common thing being taught. He's going to get born again at some point. And so if heaven will be consciously experienced forever, guess what? Hell must be also. I've already said this, but some think it's unloving to speak of hell. Let me ask you a question. If you had some friends who were going to Denver, and you knew there were different directions that they could take, and you knew that one road would lead them there, but the second road they could take ended at a sharp cliff around a bend of a corner, would you talk about the safe road? No, you'd tell them about both roads, especially if you knew the road that they were on led to destruction. Christians, we need to get a little thicker skin right now. I don't want anybody to dislike me. They probably already don't like you anyway. I understand that. And I don't believe we need to go and hold placards up like the guy we saw in L.A. down on the Sunset Strip. You know, just, I mean, he would just jump out of nowhere in front of cars with his thing. You're all going to hell and you're dying. But I'll tell you what, it's a part of the gospel. It's a part of reality. And to just talk about heaven, I think it's just only telling half the story. We all know people who are on a road to destruction. And we need to talk to them about hell. It gives you goosebumps, doesn't it? How would you like to be the messenger boy today? It's not unloving. In fact, it would be terribly unloving to not tell them. And so, folks, we need to help people who have believed Satan's lies. Come on. I really do encourage us to get out a little bit. Come on, go hang out occasionally somewhere where people who are not walking with God and listen to their conversation, watch their actions. You realize they need it. See, sometimes we just get in our little cluster, like a little covey of quail, chirping Christian talk. I'm telling you, most of the world is not thinking about eternity today. And most people believe that they're going to live a whole lot longer then they're going to live. I want to close with a few final thoughts today. Teresa of Avila, a 16th century Carmelite nun, had an amazing vision of hell, and she later wrote of the torment that she endured. She says, "I was terrified by all this. And though it happened nearly 6 years ago, I still am, as I write, even as I sit here, fear seems to be depriving my body of its natural warmth. I never recall any time when I had been suffering trials or pains, and when everything that we can suffer on earth has seemed to me of the slightest importance by comparison with this. It has been the greatest benefit to me, both in taking from me all fear of the tribulations and disappointments of this life, and also in strengthening me to suffer them and to give thanks to the Lord, who, as I now believe, has delivered me from such a terrible and never-ending torment." Friends, if we understood hell for what it's really like, and I'm going to ask Lucas to come, we'd never casually say to someone, "Oh, go to hell. Oh, go to hell." I think television has done more harm to the Christian faith, and particularly sitcoms that talk about the most graphic, real things and just laugh. I mean, graphic sexual conversation. Some of you would never in a million years look at pornography. And I'm not picking on you this morning, but let me tell you, a lot of these sitcoms are nothing more than porn shows. With a laugh on the behind. It's porn. And they talk so graphically. But it's, you know, hey, you know, it's real life. Come on, preacher, that's how life is. Really? No, that's how life with the devil is. And I think if we are not very careful, we buy into this stuff that's going on in this world. And the next thing we know, we're living it out. Oh, man, you know, I don't even preach on this stuff anymore, but we watch some of the most... We people. Some of the most ungodly stuff and say, "Oh, come on, preacher, that's real life. Man, loosen up a little bit." Loosen up a little bit. You know, hey, it's just a party, dude. I'm going to tell you, me and this hot smoking chick have a wonderful time. We laugh and carry on and tell jokes. You can have a good time. We're not perfect. Do we ever say things we shouldn't? Sure. Have we ever watched anything we shouldn't? Yes, but we really try to push each other to not do that. Folks, this thing is real. And I have felt so inadequate to explain eternity in this series. I believe with all my heart that heaven is real and is awaiting all of us. I'm sorry if it offends you. There is no guarantee of tomorrow. As you're standing, let me just talk with you just a little more. And when I say that, I'm not saying that I want people to kind of get a hopeless, give-up attitude. Let me just tell you, one of the greatest respected men of faith probably saw hundreds of thousands of people healed under their ministry recently in this country, died. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to steal faith. I believe in faith, I believe in healing, I believe in confession. But the Bible says your life is but a vapor. You keep believing, I'm telling you, I'll say it again. Some of you that kind of hang on the outskirts, you don't know all that's going on. There's no way we can tell you everything that's going on. I'm telling you, just this last week, two significant major miracles in people's lives. But some of you, come on, I'm not trying to be hard on you. Some of you just hang so far out there, kind of, you know, I'm not going to get too close in there now. I'm just not going to. You're missing it. You'll go to heaven, but you're not seeing all that God's doing. And truth be known, you're a little bit cynical. I hear the Lord saying, it's time to stop now because I'm meddling again. Heaven is real. And I want every one of you to go there. Can we just bow our heads for a moment? And I want to just ask, after hearing this message, is there anyone here this morning with the raising of your hand would say, I am ready to be a follower of Jesus. I am ready. Bible says if you believe that Jesus Christ is God's provision for sin and you confess Him as Lord, the Bible promises that you will be saved. Is there anyone here this morning that would raise your hand and you would declare, I am ready to become a Christian? What we're going to do when you raise your hand, we're going to pray for you. Slip that hand up and we're going to pray for you right now. And as you're doing that, I want to say to any of you who will view this on the internet or by DVD or other means, God loves you. Right where you are, you invite Jesus Christ into your life as Lord and Savior. Confess Him as Lord and get in a good Bible-believing church and start reading your Bible and pray to God, and you will have a life that you will be proud of, and God will forgive you and God will cleanse you of all sin and unrighteousness. I think we ought to give God a praise this morning.